Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter. Jesus said to the 12, "A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Let us pray. Lord, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead us to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Amen. Our gospel lesson for this morning is the second half of what is known as the missionary discourse in the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus commissions the 12, preparing them to go out on their own to the lost sheep of Israel. And they are to proclaim the good news that the kingdom of heaven has come near. The 12 have been given great authority to cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. This mission that Jesus has given them is one where they can exercise great authority, but it is also a mission where they will need to demonstrate profound trust. While they have this power to do all of these awesome things for God, Jesus tells them, take no money and make no extra provisions for the journey. Instead, rely on the grace of God and the hospitality shown to them by the folks that they meet. Jesus also tells the disciples that in addition to having this authority to cure the sick and raise the dead, cleanse lepers, and cast out demons, they will be subject to the same opposition and reactions that Jesus himself was. They go out as sheep among wolves, and they will face arrests and beatings, opposition from friends, family, and community, and they will experience hatred and persecution. A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, and the slave to be like the master. If they call the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So here it is, disciples. You want to follow me? Don't expect any better treatment than I received myself. Sort of like the admonition that we got from our parents, at least I did growing up, that you come to be known by the company you keep. If you associate yourself with me, disciples, You will be called a glutton and a drunkard. You will be said to be in league with the devil, and you will be told that you hang around with the wrong kind of people. And if that's not enough for you disciples, wait, there's more. Jesus' pep talk to the disciples continues with a warning about what they will face by telling them that there will be division and discord. Do not think, Jesus says, that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's foes will be the members of one's own household. Not exactly a rallying cry. Not exactly words that get the blood pumped and get you eager to get out there and make a difference by bringing the good news that the kingdom of God has come near. Words of division and discord. Division and discord are two words that we hear or see played out daily in our lives. Division and discord are inescapable. They're everywhere today. Television, magazines, social media, newspapers. Every soundbite that comes to our ear seems to echo this division and discord. Arguments over health care, possible Russian involvement in our most recent presidential election, terrible partisanship among the leadership of this country, potential problems with North Korea, fear of the other, people who are not like us in their sexual orientation, their politics, their ethnicity, or their socioeconomic status. There are travel bans. There's religious intolerance in our families, communities, nation, and our world. And it's possible, sisters and brothers, that today we experience religious intolerance in this very place this morning. Because perhaps we do not agree with something that one of the pastors has said, or with a brother or sister in Christ who is in either next to us in our same pew or in another pew. And we refuse to listen or engage in civil discourse. We hear about and witness shootings in schools, in our workplaces. Our police and first responders risk their lives every time they respond to a call. Our families are estranged because of politics, religion, abuse, drug addiction. There's bullying. The new one I heard about the other day is mommy shaming, where women call out other women for not raising their children as they think they should be raised. And there's lunch shaming. You may have heard of this one, where our children and young people are stigmatized because their parents are behind in paying for their school lunches. These kids are either made to work off their lunch by cleaning the cafeteria, have their hands stamped so that everybody knows that their parents are behind in their payment, or their school lunch is thrown out right in front of them. Division and discord. Every one of us has been marked by the reality of division and discord in our world through any of the things that I've just mentioned, as well as the loss of a loved one, abuse, drug addiction, or incivility. It is a tragedy as well as the truth. We are children of a fallen humanity. Dr. David Lose, who's the current president of Lutheran Theological Seminary in Philadelphia, writes that some of that discord is unavoidable and results in the living with integrity and sharing the truth of the gospel and bearing witness to the grace of God that we have encountered in Christ. But this may have been more a reality for the people living in first century Christian communities than for us today. There are times, Dr. Lose goes on to say, that this discord is unavoidable. We can hear Jesus' words as encouragement to his disciples who were or will suffer for confessing that he is the Messiah, as an endorsement of whatever particular cause or stance we believe is the most important in a certain moment. Interpreting Jesus' words in this way will more than likely get us charged up to go out there and risk discord, to stand up for justice no matter what the cost, to be a truth teller, and to let the chips fall where they may. Not that this is not a good thing or that this is not warranted, but if we are honest about it, when once we decide that we are going to be a standard bearer for justice or we are going to be a truth teller, we can very quickly and unconsciously stop listening to each other. And we can begin to label other people as untruthful or unjust only because their opinion differs from ours. This does not help, and truth and justice end up being the casualties. There is enough division and discord in our society today. There are plenty of people who have decided that anyone who disagrees with them are not just people with an opposite view, but they are the enemy. They become the other to us, as William Willimon calls them in his book, Fear of the Other. St. Paul tells us in his letter to the church in Rome, if it is possible, as it depends on you and on me, live peaceably with all. And again, in his letter to the Ephesians, we are admonished to speak the truth in love. We need to speak the truth and advocate for justice, but we need to do so in love. We can confess the truth, but it does not belong to us. The truth is not our possession. So when we speak the truth, it needs to be done in a way that does not shut out the other person, does not drown out their voice or refuse to listen to them, or cut them off because they believe differently than we do. I learned a valuable lesson when I was on internship a couple of years ago. When I first started my year in Virginia, my supervisor and I would go out to visit parishioners so that I would get to know folks and get to know my way around the town where I lived. And after one of the visits, we were talking about, how things went. And he said, "You're very good at visiting." He said, "I can tell you that you love the people and you love hearing their stories." But he told me that too often I would not let the person speaking finish their thought or their sentence. I would talk over them. I was too busy trying to answer them before they even finished what they were saying. My mind was so focused on what I had to tell them and not what I could learn from them. And I carry this with me all the time, because honestly, I still find myself doing it sometimes, and when I do, I hear my supervisor's voice in my ear. I believe that we are all so busy trying to tell people the truth as we see it and as we believe it, we think that we have cornered the market on truth. And we have cornered the market on how things should be, and we forget that the other person may have something to teach us. It's not easy being faithful. No one, including our Lord and Savior, promised that it would be. Through all this doom and gloom, through all of this division and discord, the good news, sisters and brothers, is that Jesus is with us. Jesus has promised that he would never leave us, he would never forsake us. Jesus promised that he would be with the 12, and he was. Jesus was with those in Matthew's community who were suffering for their faith. Jesus is with disciples today who experience sufferings far worse than our imagination can ever fathom, solely because of their faith. And Jesus is with us, with you, and with me through all this division and discord that we experience in our own personal lives, in our families, in our communities, in our nation, in our world, in our church. So do not fear them. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. Not even a small, simple sparrow falls to the ground that God does not know about. God knows the number of the hairs on each head in this space today. We are not to be afraid because we are worth more to God than many sparrows. If God notices the fall of a simple sparrow, how much more will God notice what is happening to us? So do not fear them. In a world marked by fear, division, and discord, do not be afraid. In a world that values us more for our disposable income than for anything else, remember that we are of infinite value to God, and God's promise has come to us in Christ Jesus. There are so many things that we fear. We fear being alone, being diagnosed with a terminal illness, terrorism, being estranged from our families, losing a job, not having enough funds set aside for retirement, being judged for our skin color or our gender, not feeling valued by friends, family, or church. And none of us here knows the deep-seated fears that any other person has in this space today. There is division and discord in the world. Some of it may be necessary or unavoidable or comes from speaking the truth. In all of these situations, you and I are called to live with the kind of integrity that values both the truth and the other person or persons with whom we may be debating the truth. God knows all about the division and the discord. Jesus is with us through it all. God will never give up on us because God values us more than we could imagine because we are God's creation. Division and discord, so have no fear of them. The cross and the empty tomb, you are of more value than many sparrows. And for this we say, thanks be to God. Amen.